Welcome to Showbiz Atlanta. It is Wednesday, February 15th, day after Valentine's Day. Blech. And I'm your host, Dana Barrett. And today we are going to be talking with a couple of folks from the Tag Entertainment Society. I have in the studio Audra Browning and Rohan Crawford. Welcome, guys.
Welcome. Hello.
Thank you.
Hello, hello. So Tag Entertainment Society, I have been hearing about Tag just the letters, T-A-G, tag this, tag that, tag meeting here, tag event there. Tag's been around for a long time. Yes,
it has. It's been around for over 15 years. And the Tag Entertainment Society is a society, part of the bigger organization, which is Technology Association of Georgia. It started in Atlanta, but is now branching out into other cities. And we're hoping to really grow and to service those other locations as well.
So how old is Tag itself, the big tag, all the tag?
The big tag is about 15 years old.
Okay, and the Entertainment Society has been around for?
Probably about 10.
So you were explaining to me a little bit before we got on the air about all the Tag has a bunch of different societies, sort of special right. interest groups within technology, because just saying technology is pretty broad-based.
Right, that's correct.
Yeah, so what is encompassed by the Entertainment Society?
Oh, gosh. So we have a social media society. We have women in technology. We have grid computing society. We have a real estate society. We have a legislature society that focuses on technology-based bills that are going through Congress in Georgia that we want to show our support for. We have over 15,000 members, so we have a voice.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we are also trying to, you know, the societies were formed to service the special interest groups in Georgia, but we want to now give back to the community and to, you know, to help, you know, the local industries, the entertainment industry, pass better laws, the industry around industries around technology, see better, more effective laws passed. So that's a lot of what we do as well.
So let's jump off already. I want to jump off target a little bit and talk about some of the laws, because obviously the tax incentives are a huge part of what's made production so popular in Georgia. And since Tag does have a voice, how involved were you guys in getting some of that legislation through?
So that legislation was started about, 5 years ago. And we're helping to support it now. So we weren't the ones that initiated that. But the laws, what they do is you could get up to a 30% tax credit if you film or create content in Georgia. And 30% is huge. So when you saw, some of these new movies that are coming out now,
Footloose.
So Footloose, when you watch the credits, and you have to watch the credits now, because now at the end was a great big peach.
Right.
And that peach is because they got the tax credits.
Yeah.
So a lot of the movies that are being filmed, there's movies filmed here, like last year, I think there were over 50 movies filmed in Georgia.
Yeah.
And that's huge. So that's bringing jobs. I mean, you know, and it brings a lot of different kinds of revenue. Like, you know, a set designer will go into, you know, to a thrift store or into a flea market and buy up everything.
Right.
And so
it's great for the economy.
It's great for the economy.
But here, Rohan, too, it's not just movies, right? It's gaming.
Yeah, it's video games. It's game, it's app development, it's all those areas. To some degree, music has always been here.
Yes.
But video games has been growing here, and it's something that when I tell people, they sometimes don't even realize that there are actually video game developing companies that are here, some pretty sizable companies.
Yeah.
And some of that could be applied towards a lot of those video game companies to create more content, because obviously those create jobs as well.
Right.
Yeah, the largest video game that's played online is actually headquartered here. It's CCP White Wolf, and they're out in Stone Mountain.
What is that, the game? What's the game? I'm not a gamer.
Well,
so.
The game is EVE Online. It's yes. Basically, it's
do you play it?
I have not played. I'm much of a gamer myself, but I know that it's an online game. It's a take place in space. So they've had that game for quite a while. Actually, the company's headquarters is actually in Iceland, and CCP actually does have its North American operation in Atlanta.
Interesting.
So it's been out there for a couple of years, and actually they acquired a company which was White Wolf, which actually did these card-based games involving werewolves and vampires. They acquired the company and now does video game development.
Interesting. Yeah.
And if you go to look at EVE Online, the graphics and the content for that game are incredible. It literally looks three-dimensional.
Wow. So TAG Entertainment Society is sort of an umbrella over all that kind of music production, game production, film, television, all those things. So if somebody's a member, what are the benefits? What do they get? Well, are there events? Are there other benefits besides that?
Well, for myself, it's expanded my network tremendously. So I'm meeting people from different types of companies that I would otherwise not have even either heard of or gotten some exposure to. So last year we had an event on cloud computing. I mean, I've heard about, you see commercials about the cloud and all those other things. And then we had a company called Neuronix that came out last year. Again, the person who came out explained different dimensions about cloud computing and cloud storage, things that I didn't know about.
Sure.
So it gave me more of an education that I other would have gotten beyond just what I read in magazines or just see in television ads. So that's one of the benefits. Plus you meet some of the people who are in the content creators.
Right.
So we had an event on the music industry, and one of the people that was a panelist was a rap musician called Daddy-O. I used to listen to him back when I lived in Brooklyn. And now I get to know him personally, and he's still does a lot of things in the music industry here, plus he does a lot of things in social media. So you get to meet some of those content creators and get more of on a personal level sometimes.
Right. Well, this is a good segue just to talk a little bit about your background, because, you want to meet those people for a reason, not just because they're entertaining and fun. I'm sure they are entertaining and fun.
Yeah.
But tell me a little bit about what you're doing.
For myself, my background is actually in corporate finance and strategy, and right now I'm in transition. So it gives me the opportunity to see exactly what are the issues that are involved in entertainment. And sometimes there is obviously a business component to that. So I need to see, okay, well, what are the things that I need to know? Hearing from the insiders and hearing about exactly what things that are out there, and if there's something that I can add value in some cases, then I'll come in and either sometimes make connections, and I've become what I consider a decent networker in this town. So I've made some connections, and actually an associate of mine came to an event last year which Daddy-O himself was a panelist, and gentleman, he just wanted an introduction. He was a friend of mine, and he was a fan, so he wanted to meet him. And he also, beyond his background in IT, he actually does video work on the side.
Yeah.
So about a week later, I saw him and he said that Daddy-O and he are now doing some collaborations, doing some work. So in a sense, I'm helping other people
connect,
to make those connections as well, which I enjoy doing.
It's so funny because, I'm sure all of us grew up in different places and different times and whatever. And when we were growing up, networking was not a skill they taught you. It was not anything you ever thought you would need to know. It was like, you're going to be a lawyer, doctor, fireman, nurse, teacher, the end, right? And now it's so different. It's all about networking.
I wish I would have known that. When I started out my career, I ended up, I'd work all day and then go home, and I'd be the tennis mom or the swim team mom. And, now, since I've gotten involved in networking, it's really expanded, the people that I know and myself and my interest in what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I don't think I could have stayed as interested in IT and technology had I not gotten involved in networking and the friendships I've made, and then the value we bring to the community. I mean, another area where we bring a lot of value, I think, is like Crawford Communications. Been in Atlanta for years and years. A high-tech entertainment company, post-production house, and they just opened a new building. We're having an event there in a couple of months. They're going to be able to tell us about what they're doing and advertise that to the community, which they wouldn't have a chance to otherwise.
Right.
And even Turner, no one needs to be
people know who Turner is.
They know who Turner is.
Yeah.
But, we have an event there once a year, and people get to go see the studios. What other chance would you have to do that?
Yeah.
And Turner loves it because they want people to have that connection with them.
Right.
That's something that I think is a really important aspect of what we do as well.
Yeah. Well, you were talking about events in general, so you've just mentioned two things. But are there some upcoming?
Yes, our next event is going to be next week on Wednesday, and that event is going to be with a company called Watch It 2, which is a whole new way of leveraging social media to work with your fan base and to collaborate. So it's a plug-in into your website. And so, for instance, if you're streaming a concert, it would allow all your fans to collaborate while you were, you know, while the concert was going on.
Interesting.
And it, we're going to be talking about them, and they're going to be there. But we've got also Turner, who's using it for NBA. We've got some other people that are involved in advertising and social media. So we want to take that to another level and think about how social media helps you leverage your brand and how advertising. In last year, 30,000 jobs were lost in the industry, in the advertising industry, because that money was going into social media.
Yeah.
So we want to investigate that and help companies in Atlanta learn how they can leverage that better. So those are the kind of, that's the kind of thing we think about when we do these events.
You know, social media is so interesting. It's so hot. You know, everybody talks about social media right now. We just had somebody on a show earlier today. That's all they, that's their job. They help companies do social media. And it's huge, right?
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people, certainly depending on your generation, don't entirely get it in terms of it actually making a difference for your business. Like, everybody knows they need to be doing it, but I guess what I'm wondering is, and this is totally off topic, but does it really translate into sales? You know, how much effort you put forward,
well,
does it really translate?
Some of the people that are going to be there are people that actually manage those kinds of metrics. I know that that at Turner, they look at those metrics exactly, specifically, when they're using social media. So absolutely, that's measured by the people that are using it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Certainly at a Turner level, they have the ability to do that. But some of the smaller companies...
the reason I'm dressed up, I was actually at a breakfast event this morning, and...
he looks very nice, by the way.
Thank you.
This is radio, he's wearing a tie. He's very...
Very handsome.
And I was actually at a function where the president of IQ Agency was there, and his topic was on social media, and it wasn't necessarily just focused entirely upon the larger companies. Smaller companies can fully take advantage of using social media to get their brand out, and one person spoke about how if his company had not used social media to engage his clients, usually just potential clients, wasn't even existing clients, and just kind of starting a conversation and just kind of observing and engaging a little bit, it basically saved his company and kind of kept themselves on the map.
Yeah. I think one of the interesting things, at least it seems to me, is that if you use it, if you think that it's going to solve all your problems and, you know, build your business by itself, just by you posting, you know, out in the world, not so much. But I think, like, it's interesting if you go to an event like a Tag Entertainment Society event or an event like we met at, and then you connect in social media, and that's a good way to keep the connection that you've already made in person going, and vice versa. If you can connect over social media but then take it offline and make a real connection.
Absolutely. One of the things that I think is interesting is as I look through our events, you know, I mean, like the March event is going to be about crowdfunding. But crowdfunding leverages social media in order to be able to accomplish it.
Sure.
Okay, and then we're looking at, you know, economic development landscape in Georgia. Well, guess what? That's how TAG reaches out to their constituents to tell them about what's going on. So I actually, you know, don't have an event where there's not some aspect of social media now creeping into it and changing the way that we've been doing business. It's pretty amazing. And this is a funny thing, you know. So it's, social media is about obviously handheld devices and about being able to leverage new technology.
Sure.
And last year, a really crazy thing happened. The same week, my niece's baby, who was 18 months, learned to use an iPad and with his new games.
Wow.
And my mother got her Facebook account. She's 86.
Yeah.
So, you know, it kind of blew my mind because the juxtaposition was just like really crazy. It's like, I don't want to know anymore.
Well, just imagine in 50 years. Like, I was amazed. You know, I have a college-aged kid, and she was so more technologically savvy than me, and I was a programmer, so it wasn't like I was a dummy.
Yeah.
You know, but now, like you're saying, I mean, babies at 18 months old are connected already.
Yes.
So can you imagine? It's going to be like Star Trek pretty soon. We're just going to be hitting a button on our shirt and saying, beam me up, Scotty.
Might as well be. I mean, I was actually, and this is totally unrelated, but I was actually at a friend's place this past weekend for her birthday, and her child is actually at a school. I mean, her child is bilingual, speaks English and Spanish, and she's in a little school. She's learning Mandarin Chinese.
Yeah.
Something that I would have never thought.
But it's
necessary for a lot of the kids these days. And again, if they're technologically savvy or multilingual, all these things are going to help them in the future.
Amazing. Yeah. So if somebody wants to join TAG, what do?
They just go to tagonline.org and just sign up, and then you go through. You can pick which society you want to, and you can pick multiple societies, and then, you know, we try to be very careful about how many emails we send, but we do send a notice once a week about what's going on. And you don't have to go just to the societies you sign up for. You can look at there's things of interest. If there's people you want to meet, like in one of our events, the one on the legal landscape in Georgia, we've got Chris Klaus. Chris Klaus is the founder of ISS, bought by IBM, and is now the founder of Kineva Gaming Company, and he's very interested in the entertainment industry in Georgia. I mean, he built a building for Georgia Tech. He's an amazing individual and right. still in his early 30s. And this, I mean, he's going to be there. And you can go and you can shake his hand and talk to him and ask him questions.
Yeah.
Where else could you do that? Where else would you have that kind of access?
Right.
And these are people that are willing, they're willing to come because they know people are going to talk to them. And they want to share with people. They want to share with them the successes, what's going on. And, you know, so it gives you an opportunity that you wouldn't have any other way.
Right.
And it gives you an opportunity to expand your own personal, you know, network and your own personal worth, I believe.
Yeah. So you mentioned that TAG overall has 15,000-ish members.
Yep.
And so how many people are in the Entertainment Society?
You know, I don't know exactly how many have checked that
box.
Yeah.
So, okay, well then let me ask it this way. When you have an Entertainment Society event, typically how many people are there?
The events usually draw between 50 and 125 people.
Okay. So they're still intimate enough that you really can meet people.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Interesting. And are they mostly really, are they all technology people? Like how technologically, are you going to be embarrassed if you walk in and you're not super technical?
No, I mean, I'm a financial strategy guy. I mean,
you're a money guy.
Yeah, I'm a money guy. So I am not the person that's going to be knowing how to do code or all those types of things. But I get a chance to shake hands with the people who are technologically savvy. And it kind of brings me, again, getting back to the networking thing. I'm a finance person, and usually we're stereotyped as being about as introverted. You know, one person is maybe more introverted than us, or maybe accountants.
Yeah.
And that's so I'm seen as a bit of an oxymoron because, yeah, I'm a finance background, but I can't.
Well, at least you're not seen as a moron.
No, yeah. Which is a good thing. Helps me out in a job hunt. So, but yeah, and again, it gives me a chance to go out there and have that kind of interaction, very much like Audra said, you know, meeting people that I otherwise maybe wouldn't have done, you know. If I resort to just maybe just going through like online, maybe going through like my alumni database, yeah, you might have that. But I've made connections with people through Twitter.
Yeah.
Things
well,
like that.
And this is a specific industry that you know, yes, you're a finance guy and you could ostensibly work in finance in any industry.
Yes.
But this is an industry that appeals to you, that you like to be involved in. And so it's fun too, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I've done projects and I've done some consulting work in other industries, but it's something that it resonates with me because it's something I've always kind of followed anyway.
Yeah.
And plus, it started back when I was in corporate lending because I used to work for a company called the CIT Group doing
yeah.
asset-based lending. And it really sparked my interest when I worked with a part of a group that used to lend to TV and radio stations.
Okay.
And when I did that, then I got a chance to analyze the industry, analyze the competitive side, do kind of the competitive analysis, you know, beyond just looking at their 10K annual reports and saying, well, this is where revenue is going, this is where profits are going. I was actually seeing, well, from the long-term standpoint, really understanding the business and seeing exactly how that industry was growing and getting a better sense for how I can contribute. But I was still kind of on the outside looking in because I was just limited to just lending them money, because once I lent them the money, okay, that was it.
That was the end of that.
That
yeah.
was pretty much it. And, yeah, I tracked the performance and everything, but it was still kind of on the outside looking in, whereas right now what I would like to do, if not working for, say, a consulting firm that maybe focuses on doing restructuring or doing change management related to the digital media or entertainment space, I could maybe work directly within the industry doing those exact same things
right.
where I may be the finance person or maybe contributing on a strategy side.
Right. So when you're meeting people at these events, you can sort of feel them out and see what their needs are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if it's not something that where I can contribute maybe from either a consultant or employee standpoint, it may be as simple as, well, I need somebody who does social media analytics. Well, I know somebody who does that. I can point them in that direction where they don't have to resort to doing an extensive search. I can just make that straight up connection, and that is valuable. I mean, I've actually had a conversation with somebody, and getting back to our social media conversation, I have a very good contact who does social media marketing for the video game industry. She's in North Carolina. We've never met.
Yeah.
But we've connected through Twitter. We've connected on LinkedIn. We've had conversations by way of Skype. She's given me her contacts. I've given her contacts to people here in Atlanta on the gaming side. It got to the point where even one of her contacts gave me the name of the former head of the International Gaming Developers Association.
Yeah.
And I don't mean nationally. I mean in the planet. He yeah. ran it. And we had a conversation by way of Skype 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And he's in Montreal. Now, how would I have ever have gotten that if I had not made for those connections, again, through social media, the technology, if it was not there, who knows how long or if that was even possible.
Right. But so now, Audra, your interest in the entertainment business, you're a technology person by trade.
Right.
So tell me, explain the connection for you in entertainment.
Well, I was doing a lot of work I work in business development now, but I was doing a lot of work with Turner and Crawford Communications and companies that were doing things in IT.
So you were just providing them IT solutions.
IT solutions. But as we talked before, you know, when you're looking at an event and you're looking at someone on stage, that's less than 2% of the show. The show is really in the back
right.
with all the computers.
Right.
And so I really believe that to really do a better job for my clients, that I really needed to understand their business better. And so I started getting involved in Gwinnett County. We were writing a white paper on the entertainment industry in Georgia. There was no one place where it was all really defined. So
sure.
we went out and we put it together, worked on all the different aspects of it, and it took us over a year. So once we launched that, kind of the core team that did that formed an organization called Digitainment, and that was about promoting the entertainment industry in Georgia. And as I was doing all that, I really learned a lot about the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
And I think that in my day job, it's made me more effective as well. And then when I stepped down from president of that organization, Tino asked me to chair the Entertainment Society for TAG. And so that's what I've been doing for the last couple of years.
Yeah,
and
it's so interesting because that's basically what this show is about. I mean, we're just, you know, the actors are great and fun. And, you know, I do that sometimes, so I can't really criticize the talent. But that's why we're doing this show, because there is so much going on behind the scenes that I think
right.
there's so much interest in this business in Georgia of late, especially like you mentioned, all the movie productions that have been here, all the TV productions. Who hasn't seen that peach now at the end of a TV show? A
That's
little
true.
Walking Dead, a little Drop
yeah,
Dead Diva.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
there's that peach. And so I think there is so much interest, but there's so much going on that people don't even realize.
Well, and then the other thing, too, is when you're talking about the spend, you know, in an entertainment company, 80% of their spend will be on IT and 20% will be on everything else.
Yeah.
Because that's you have to store it, you have to film it, you've got cameras, you've got all of that kind of stuff. So if you look at, you know, understanding where the money is, and that's what people in business want to do, right?
Right.
That's, you know, you have to start understanding the industry. And I think that, you know, this is what TAG helps you do, whatever your industry might be. We've got those types of organizations and societies that will help you focus on the areas that are interesting to you.
Yeah, and I think it is really important to note that you don't have to be. I think that I just assumed when I had heard about TAG in the past, and I'm a reformed technical person. What do
yeah.
we call that? I'm a reformed geek. There you go. So I actually try to stay away from everything that's technology related at some level. But so I just sort of assume TAG is like for, you know, other geeks, and I don't need to be. But it's kind of interesting to hear you say that no.
Yeah, I mean, and ironically, myself, I actually went to an engineering high school. Shout out to Brooklyn Tech in New York.
Woo-hoo!
But, exactly. So, but even with those different groups, even if you're talking about the entertainers, even they are getting in on other aspects of the entertainment side. So recently, say, Candy Burris, who is one of the Real Housewives of Atlanta, formerly of Escape, you know, a songwriter, a musician in her own right, recently partnered up with a black-owned video game company, Console Kings. Now she has an app that's out, Candy Coded Spades, which is basically based on the card game Spades.
Interesting.
And it's an app. It's an online app for the Apple platform. So if you've got your iPod, your iPad, your iPhone, you can play that. So again, she's lent her name and her brand, so to speak, towards a video game. And you have, I was actually at a function last year for women in film and television talking on the video game side. Now, what would video game people need to talk to film people for? Well, if they're coming up with a video game concept, we need people to write that.
Yeah.
If you need people to do the acting, you need people to do voice work for that.
Right.
So all these groups are converging. They're meeting in some ways or form or fashion. So what we found, because I actually met Audra through Digitame at Georgia a couple of years ago, and we were finding that all the music folks know each other.
Yeah.
All the film folks know each other.
Right.
TV folks know each other. Video game folks meet up in meetups all the time.
Yeah.
But if you were to tell them, well, you know, it would be nice if we could meet some film folks, where do we go to meet them? Or how do we go to meet them and what do we have to offer to them? I mean, sometimes they just don't know that, well, you're an actor. Well, okay, well, what does that mean? I can just maybe do something for a TV or film on the stage. Well, yeah, you could also maybe add your voice to a video game project.
Yeah, it's so interesting.
Yeah.
I was there was a little TV production going on here at 200 Office today, and you know, we've got our little radio station here, and it's the same thing. It's like we were over here in our little radio world, and they were out there in their TV world. And then I started chatting with them, and they were like, "Oh, do you do voiceover work?" And I was like, "I'm on the radio, of course I do voiceover work." And they're like, "Oh, wait, here, give cards and whatever." So that was obviously totally happenstance. But you know, going to some of these events, you're right, you don't even realize what kind of good connections you can make.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lady at our last event that's working with someone in from England that's doing a concert in New York, and they want to take that concert concept and bring it here to Georgia, and she's looking for people to get involved with her in that whole thing. I mean, people are looking to be able to do things like that, but
right.
Where do you find that? Come to these events, because this is the way you're going to do it. You know, again, you can research the internet all you want, and you'll get some hits. But sometimes in person is really a good strategy.
And if you're going to an event that is so specific,
yeah,
you're going to meet the right kind of people. Now, do you have to be a member to go to an event? Or
no,
okay.
Not at all.
So how does that work?
So if you're a member, they're all free. If you're a non-member, they're like $20. So we always have refreshments and food, and so we make it comfortable. And
Are they in different locations depending on what they are? Or
It depends on the society. Ours are in different locations because we like to highlight, like if we put something together with Turner, we'd like to do it at Turner Studios. If we do something with Crawford, like we're going to do one about autostereoscopic 3D. Autostereoscopic 3D means no glasses, yay.
Oh, because I was about to say, like a large percentage of the things you've been mentioning as topics for these conferences are going over my head. So I probably need to come to some of these things so I can learn, because you're saying these things and I'm nodding and smiling and going like, I don't know what that means. So thank you for explaining that. Well, it's 3D without glasses.
Right. And we have a write-up.
Excellent.
But, you know, Crawford is very excited to show off their facility, their new facility. And they've made a big investment in 3D. There's a lot going on in 3D. We, you know, see all the new movies coming out. Titanic, they just remade that in 3D.
Yeah.
So this is where a big part of the industry is going. You know, they need to keep you in the theater. So
yeah.
How are they going to do that?
Yeah.
And it's fun. It's fun. I should have brought my little phone. You could watch. I have a 3D phone.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, oh, you
cool.
Go, technical yeah. Woman over there. That's pretty cool. You're like ahead of the curve. You got all the cool toys.
I just care about the toys, actually.
Yeah, well, of course. That's what it's all about. Everybody in technology loves the toys, right?
That's right. I love the
That's
gadgets.
Right. It's all
yes.
About the gadgets.
This is off topic, too. My husband had a little surgery last Friday, so we, you know, outpatient, no big deal. So I get there, and I'm thinking to myself, this is really crazy. I've got his iPad, my netbook, my iPhone, you know, my BlackBerry, and his iPhone. I have five devices to get us through 4 hours.
Yeah, and you needed them all, I'm sure.
We used every single one of them.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, how it is.
Is that crazy or what?
I know. It is. It's amazing. I know. I have too many screens in my little apartment. It's kind of embarrassing.
But that's entertainment, because those devices is how the entertainment industry is reaching out to you.
Yeah.
One of the interesting things we had in December, we had an event at Turner, and one of the guests was Sandy Kolzik from Cox, and they're going to be using their TV spectrum to deliver over the top to your cell phone. So you'll be able to watch TV channels, all the TV channels, really,
oh.
From a phone. And Samsung is making a phone already that has an RF receiver.
Wow.
And other people are coming out with them by the middle of next year. The thing that is so crucial about that is in an emergency, regular cell phones is one-to-one, so you have thousands, and it's really hard to scale when you're doing video. When they're doing their technology, they do one-to-many. So they never run out of spectrum or bandwidth. And in an emergency, you won't be able to make a phone call, but you'll be able to get the news on Channel 11.
Wow. Yeah. Interesting, because it's not the normal.
Yeah.
It's a totally new technology.
Yeah. So
that's fascinating.
And that's Atlanta. It's Cox. Cox is, and, you
yeah.
know, it's such a traditional company. We don't think of them You know, they're a third of the size of Comcast and Time Warner Cable, but guess what? They have twice the Twitter and social media presence on the internet than Comcast and Time Warner Cable. So, I mean, I'm very proud of their local company. Go, Cox.
There you go. Go, Atlanta. So they're, you know, innovators, obviously. That's pretty wild.
Amazing.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, and there are other companies that are here. I mean, there was one company I heard called Mobile Filmworks. They just do streaming of films on mobile devices, and they just signed a deal with a Brazilian film studio to stream all their content on your mobile phones, your app, on your tablets, all those types of things.
Yeah.
And again, this is not just as we're promoting to bring entertainment that's domestic. We're now going international now.
Yeah.
So that's the type of thing that we'd like to see more of that.
Yeah. So what's so special about Georgia and entertainment? Why is this going so well here?
It's the history. I mean, there's so much history here, starting with the music industry. I mean, the music industry has so many roots in gospel music, and that really, you know, is Georgia. And then as that developed in rock and roll and, you know, jazz, I mean, we have such a rich cultural history in the music industry.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, with Turner starting here, you know, Ted Turner, I mean, he's genius.
Yeah.
And what he did, the legacy he's left us is huge. And then, you know, Gem Studios just opened up a studio here.
Yep.
We have Tyler Perry, another genius.
Yeah.
I mean, in the work that he's doing. We literally have hundreds of music studios where, you know, do recording and artists are using.
Almost like a snowball. It's like it started with one thing and then something, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like it was somebody set out from the beginning and said, okay, we're going to turn this into an entertainment capital, really. It was sort of like, oh, there's music here. Oh, wait, now Turner's here.
It very grew much very organically in a lot of ways. So, yeah, like you said, started on the music side, and there was a time when it did have a few films and some television shows. I remember Dukes of Hazzard from back in the day.
Right, and what was that one, like In the Heat of the Night?
Yeah, In the Heat of the Night was being shot here. So we had those, and then at some point, especially when the tax credits came into play, then it just exploded. I think last year it generated more than $1 billion of revenue. Just from, I think, more on the film side alone, and television, of course.
And somebody said to me, and I can totally see this, and you don't think about it necessarily when you're sitting here in Metro Atlanta, but if you think about the state of Georgia, like, it could look like anywhere.
Right.
Because you've got the beach on one side of the state, you know, you've got places up around here that almost look like the Northeast, the rolling hills and lots of trees.
Right.
You know, you get weather here, you know, so
it does have offer variety. So you can do rural, you can do urban.
Yeah.
I mean, you do have the benefit of the airports, which again is easy.
Amazing.
I mean, you can go to just logistically, you can go to different parts of the state and it'd be not much of a problem.
Right.
So that's an advantage. Of course, you have advantage from the people behind the scenes. You have people, of course, in front of the camera, you know, if you're talking about film and television. So you have that going for you. And it's been a very good marketing for the state. I mean, it's also great for tourism because people want to see where it was Forrest Gump being filmed.
Right.
Again, if you're doing, say, a lot of events, like if you're doing film festivals, like there's Bronze Lens Film Festival, there's Peachtree Village International Film Festival. Again, that's the film side. People come in. I've been to some of their events, and I'm seeing actors and, you know, people on the television side who don't live in Atlanta who come here.
Yeah.
And they start to say, what's going on? What's going on down here? And you have things on the gaming side, like the gaming industry has Siege, which is a Southern Interactive Entertainment and Gaming Expo.
Amazing.
Again, all those people are coming here. Again, it's a good place to show that, kind of putting Georgia a little bit more on the map.
And Georgia has the largest Grammy organization in the country. The Grammys organization has different chapters all over the country. Georgia's is the largest, and last year we had more nominees than any other part of the country.
Wow.
So, and so Usher lives here. I mean, you know, when you think of the big names, he moved here from Austin.
Well, if you want to send him over to be a guest, I'm just saying. I wouldn't throw him out of the studio, you know. Just saying. It's pretty fascinating, all this stuff. I think people just don't realize how much is going on. People do realize there is some of this going on, but I don't think they realize the extent of what's going on here.
Yeah, and it's funny. Sometimes I've even seen entertainers in places, like I was actually having dinner one time over at a restaurant in Buckhead, and I was with a friend of mine, and she noticed a young lady that walked by us, and I didn't notice. And I looked back, and I saw the gentleman that was with her, and it was Ian Somerhalder from The Vampire Diaries.
Nice.
And it was Nina Dobrev, I think, who plays the lead actress.
Yeah.
And they're out together. And I've actually been, and again, getting back to The Vampire Diaries, I was at the airport, saw Michael Trevino, who plays a werewolf on the show, just happened to be just hanging out there.
Yeah.
And I'm
my neighbor, two doors down, she moved just recently, but Kim Zolciak, who is the housewife of Atlanta. She lived one door down.
There you go.
I mean,
it's all happening right here.
It's all happening.
Do you think that it's going to continue to grow, or has it reached its peak? Or because, you know, everybody has been whining and crying about the economy in general, and me too. But I mean, for a couple of years now, it's the economy has been bad. People are losing jobs, whatever. But this industry in Atlanta seems to be growing, not dying.
I think people are going to continue to want to be entertained. And I think as the devices grow that you can be entertained on, there's going to be a more and more demand for different kinds of programs, different kinds of games. Gaming is huge. And you're going to see more of the kind of thing where entertainers want to leverage the gaming industry to get their name out because that's money too, right?
Sure.
Royalties and stuff.
Sure.
So people are going to figure out different ways of making money and expanding that. And like you said, when our kids, you know, and their kids, they're going to be watching TV on their iPads, and they're going to be watching, you know, the dads are going to be, you know, when they get the streaming TV stuff done that Cox is doing, you know, the dad watching the soccer game is actually going to be able to watch the real football game same time.
You'll never want to leave the house, basically. You'll never want to leave the house, especially if you get 3D and make it just very cost effective and not have to use the glasses. And use it for video games also.
Yeah.
I remember I think we went to an event, and there was a big kind of 3D rendered TV screen, and the men just stopped and stared at it. And automatically we thought, sports, games.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
For my opinion, it is much like Audra said, it's going to continue to grow. There's certain things that I would like to see that would, I think, facilitate it a lot more. The tax credits have been great. It's been very instrumental in getting a lot of the entertainment to grow here.
Yeah.
My thing is, independent of that, I would like to see a lot more investing going on, because right now, as it stands, a lot of the investing that goes on, particularly as, again, I meet people on the gaming and the film side who say, you know, can you point me in the direction of the people who have money, is, you know, sometimes the investors are not that comfortable with investing in entertainment and video games. So the more that we can educate them in terms of, well, what is a more viable, project to invest in, as well as for the people who are the content creators to say, well, if you're going to be pitching your film project or your video game product, how do you package yourself? Because some people are not at savvy in that,
right?
So a lot of the investors, at least traditionally in Georgia, have been more business to business, whereas with this is basically more business to consumer.
Yeah,
basically. So to get them more comfortable with that is, I think, is critical.
And we see people that get frustrated and go out to LA.
Yeah,
because of the money.
Yeah, and usually and when you pitch to, again, a potential investor, and if they're in Boston, if they're in Silicon Valley, one of the first questions they'll ask is, well, if we give you, how can we convince you to move out here?
Yeah.
And that's beginning to change.
Do we want more local investment so that we
actually
can...
Yes. And actually, that's beginning to change. Actually, there's a company here called Mowgli Games. They actually make games for places like Facebook, you know, for Twitter, things like that, social games.
Right.
And recently they raised about $500,000, a little bit over $500,000 from local angel investors.
Yeah.
Which to me is very crucial. And I spoke to the co-founder, and I asked him, are you thinking about staying? I said, yeah, that's our intention. We want to stay here.
Yeah.
And because you don't want to run into a problem where after a while, if you keep on getting the investing, I mean, look at Facebook. Facebook was basically conceived at Harvard.
Yeah.
And where are they now? Palo Alto, California, because that's where all that is going on.
Right.
If we can create a kind of a viable ecosystem for that here, much like a Silicon Valley, much like what's going on in Montreal. And when I spoke to the head of the International Gaming Developers Association, he said it would help that gaming industry community grow was, one, they had the people who created content, much what we have here. We have a talented pool of people who either create games, who can create web series, you know, who are actors and all those types of things.
Sure.
We have the educational institutions. We have the Georgia Techs. We have Emory University. We have Georgia State. All those types of SCAD example.
Right.
What we'd like to have would be more of the investing. You know, because again, the more the money flows, then more the people are going to come in, create either early startup companies. We're going to have maybe people coming in, collaborating, creating more content. Then that'll attract maybe the bigger players who say, well, what's going on down in Georgia? Maybe we want to set up some shop out
and
here.
And one of the things, too, that you know, we have all these schools. I'm really glad you mentioned the schools, because we've got SCAD. I mean, Georgia Tech, Gwinnett Tech, they've all got programs for gaming. The Georgia State University has 600 students in the undergraduate film department.
Right.
It's huge.
Yeah.
But most of those people go out of state. Most of those people go out west when they graduate. And that's why we'd like to see the investors and people in Georgia investing in companies here so we can keep that talent here. We just don't want it to go away.
I think that's a really important point. I think that's true for a lot of the talent, the actors and people that I've met. They think of Georgia right now as almost like a training ground for LA and New York. Mm-hmm. And they want to get their feet wet here, you know, because it's affordable to live here and there are productions going on. There are opportunities. But then they think they need to leave and go to L.A.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, L.A., and again, where I grew up in New York, again, that's highly strong for, again, film side.
Right.
I mean, that can't be argued with that.
Sure.
But, you know, we do need to have other locations for that. I mean, I've met students at different meetups relating to video games, and a person may have graduated from Georgia Tech recently and said, well, where are you going to go? So I got a job working for Zynga, which, again, they make a game for, like, Facebook, you know, Farmville and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
In California.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, and the same thing on the... For the actors, I mean, what are they going to do? Where are they going to go? I mean, you go to L.A., you're going to go to New York. So you can actually build a career here if
you
want.
Yeah, and when you look at like a company like CCP White Wolf, you know, they're located in Stone Mountain. They were bought by the company in Iceland, but the U.S. headquarters are here. And the reason they kept them here was because of the cost of living and the lifestyle that and that they can provide for their employees.
Right. And I think, you know, hopefully we'll get there because I think the music business is a destination. Like for the music business, you don't feel like you have to graduate and move to New York or LA.
Yeah.
Like Atlanta's the place to be.
Right.
So hopefully it'll get there for film and gaming and television and so that this is the end game. This is not the training ground.
Yeah, and even for those who are kind of early in their careers, I mean, this is a place where you can actually build kind of your build a reputation for yourself and stay here. I mean, I meet people who may want to be filmmakers here, and they may say, well, you know what, I don't necessarily want to wait to get my script out and get it sold to Hollywood or get sold by a film studio, in New York. Why don't I just create some content here, and it'll actually attract people who want to come to Atlanta to do business with me here.
Yeah.
I mean, I read a story about how independent filming is big in Atlanta, and there was a budding filmmaker who attracted a rapper out of Canada who came here to want to shoot down here rather than going to Canada. So in Canada, it's cheap. It's incredibly cheap. This is why we see a lot of television shows shot out there.
Yep.
But then again, we have a lot of shows that are shot here.
Yeah.
And tax credits are good. I mean, hopefully we tend to maintain it because I know other states have had tax credits and some have gone away with
They've gotten rid of them, but I think they've gotten rid of them, and I'm not familiar with all of them, but I'm familiar with Michigan. A friend of mine works for the legislature in Michigan, and it was really about mismanagement that they felt that the tax credits somehow got away from them and they weren't controlling what was going on anymore, and that I don't know if you know how the tax credits work, because when you get the tax credits, you can actually sell the tax credits and get cash immediately.
Wow.
So it's an opportunity for if you get people that are a little bit shady and involved, that it can get ugly fast. So you really have to have a lot of controls. And in Michigan, didn't work. They lost control.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think here, so far, we've done a really good job of it.
Yeah, it's done a really good job of it. I mean, it's a viable market for it. I mean, the one thing about it is you can actually sell the tax credits, as she said, but to people who are not even in the industry.
Right.
So if you have a tax liability and you say you're working in construction or you're in some other aspect of whether you're in, you know, manufacturing or something, and you have a tax liability, you can actually acquire it at a bit of a discount and apply it.
That's fascinating.
You win a lottery, you go and go find tax credits. It's not just the entertainment industry.
Huh.
Other people that have tax credits that they don't need because they don't have the taxes. So this is, it's a whole brokering thing.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. And
so this might be, well, first of all, two things. One, I've heard rumors. I think there's rumors all the time, but I keep hearing rumors that they may change the tax credits here. Do we know if that's
true? Always up.
I mean, it was basically they kept it last year because, again, most of the states, because of the way the economy is going, I mean, there's always a lot of, you know, debates about, you know, what's the benefit of having these tax credits just in general.
Yeah.
So places much like Michigan, you know, did away with a huge portion of it, and they paid for it because a lot of production just left immediately. I mean, I read about Michigan's governor talking about reducing tax credits. The Avengers film, the one that's the Marvel Comics character, they were going to film part of the film in Michigan. Two days later, they left. They went straight to Cleveland to shoot part of the production out there.
Yes. Wow. I mean, a lot of it is about how you manage the program. I mean, one of the things that they complain about is, or I've heard you know, that was a complaint is, well, there were so many films shot in Savannah, and for the local government, for the local city or town, they have to get extra police people out there. They have to, you know, deal with all the extra traffic. You know, how are they compensated? Well, they're not. But, you know, the point is that that's not something that can't be fixed. That can be, you know, you can say, okay, you can, when you film in a small town, if there's any, if you need more police, you know, there, then that you need to pay for that. I mean,
right.
You can put that in the contract.
Right.
You don't. I mean, if you just wrote a bad law, it doesn't mean that the law, you know,
that's
the whole
it.
Thing is bad.
Right.
You know. So
right.
So and it's not a bad law necessarily. There were just some details left out. So
sure.
That's the kind of thing we need to go back and work on and continue working on. And there's I think a really strong support group for keeping those here in Georgia, and we're working on them all the time. And if people want to get involved, you know, come on out to our organization, and we'll introduce you to people that you can work with and help.
Interesting, yeah.
And I've even spoken to legislators who said, you know, compared to other industries that they've dealt with, you know, that they saw that the people in the entertainment side were incredibly appreciative and gracious with, you know, the fact that they, you know, were able to come and do their filming here. So they said they'd never experienced that before.
Right.
Where with other industries, you know, it's kind of maybe not so much.
And Georgia, I got to, again, you know, say what a good job the state of Georgia has done, because they've got a group of people that actually help people, you know, help the filmmakers come in and, you know, do the scouting of the sites, the locations, all that kind of thing. So
yeah,
we try to make it easy for them, make them comfortable here.
Yeah, a lot of the states, a lot of the counties now have this kind of camera-ready program in place. So if you already say you're going to shoot in Habersham County or something, then you already have kind of an infrastructure in place that you say, oh, no, we want to shoot out there. What's there in terms of restaurants? What's the logistics there? What's the topography?
Right.
All that information is already there, so they're already set up, so you don't have to go out and do sort of the investigative work that you would have done normally. So that's been, I'm not sure exactly how far it's gone, but it's gone pretty extensively. Last time I read, it was more than half the counties in the state were basically camera ready at that point.
That's so interesting. I'm camera ready. I
like
that.
Exactly.
We're all camera ready in here. This is radio, so we can tell people whatever we want. We're beautiful. So I could talk to you guys forever, because you guys have some really fascinating information that I just had no idea about. But before we wrap up, I do want to ask about the tax credits as it relates to like some of the smaller film projects. And do they qualify?
It has to be over $500,000 worth of spend.
So once you get to that point, you qualify.
Right.
Okay.
But that's fast. You can get to $500,000 making a movie really, really quickly.
Yeah.
Or even developing a video game.
Yeah.
So why is that? Because you mentioned earlier, Rohan, that there's a lot of independent films being made here, and so a lot of them are small budgets, and they don't get that benefit. So why do you think it's so popular here?
Well, I think it's just because of the fact that technology has made it just so cheap for you to shoot a film here. I mean, it's just, you don't need to spend so much money to get a camera. Right now, you can actually shoot, you can edit, you can do all those things at a very low budget. And again, if you get the benefit of the same thing that a large production studio have, I mean, if you want to shoot in different locations, whether it's in a rural area, whether it's in a city area, you can do that.
It's true.
And again, you can just go into these locations pretty quickly if you want to. So it's just very advantageous.
And when you think about having Turner here, the fact that Turner has spun off a lot of small studios and people that were, you know, experts at editing and creating content for Turner have started little companies of their own. So there's a little industry that's grown up around that. And so you know, the smaller filmmakers will go to them to get some of the support and the work that they need. So it's really interesting.
Yeah, it is. You're right. It's like, as the talent is here for all these other reasons, for the bigger productions and the big companies like Turner, and the talent is here and people who know how to do all the behind the scenes work, they're here anyway because they're working for the big companies. And so much of this business is freelance and, you know, short-term projects, that you can probably get some really good people even for small
Absolutely.
Projects.
Yeah, and there are other organizations, like I know the Atlanta Film Festival and WIFTA, you can actually build those relationships with people like that. Like I myself actually was on a weekend shoot for a friend of mine years ago. I met him from volunteering for the Atlanta Film Festival years ago. He called me up at a free weekend, said, you know, I'm shooting this film. Yeah, I said, I just need you for like a day. I said, all right, I had like a Sunday afternoon to kill. Why not? Get out there, shoot the film. You know, it's out there, it's a long shoot, but, you know, you're kind of playing around, you know, with some friends and everything. Didn't think anything about it. He didn't tell me he was actually going to enter it into the film festival itself.
Okay.
Did not know because I'm volunteering and I'm sitting around there and the people are coming out from the studio. They're looking at me because I had to play a paramedic. He said, "You're the paramedic guy that was in the movie."
And, like, oh, you were great.
And I sat there, but you build these relationships with people and, you know, kind of very casually. And then you can come together and just say, "Hey, I'm shooting this film this weekend. Can you come in to be like a boom guy?"
Yeah.
Or can you come in and be a PA for
sure.
one day? Or can you be in front of the camera? And speaking about that particular project, you know, they say, like, I'm in job search right now, and I had to Google myself because they said you want to see what people are investigating. I saw my name pop up in an internet movie database.
Nice.
And it was for that same film because it was a film festival, and I was listed as paramedic number two.
Nice.
I had two words, and I just came up with, and it was a line, but it qualified for it. But, again, you kind of, from this small community, again, or growing community of people in the entertainment side, you build these relationships, and then you can pull somebody to come in on my film project, or you need somebody to come in on developing your game.
Right.
Or, come in on the music side. So that's where this thriving community can continue to grow, because that up-and-coming filmmaker or game developer, may be, the big name in a year or two.
That's right. You never know.
Yep. And Mil Cannon, who's a producer here in Atlanta, he has a passion for parks, city parks. And so he put this thing together to raise money to redo the parks all over the United States. And so he invited all, like, the, top musicians in Atlanta to come out to Raintree Studios to do a song that somebody had written specially for that.
Wow.
And so you get involved, get to know the people, and you'd be amazed what you're going to get invited to. So it's a lot of fun.
Well, as we wrap up, again, you were saying, I think, before that TAG Entertainment Society is always looking for new members.
Yes.
And I think this was a really good introduction for people who weren't sure what it was all about. So if they want to join, remind them again how they find out how to do it.
Well, you just go to www.tagonline.org. And you can look up the TAG Entertainment Society, and my name is there, and Audra Browning, and you can contact me. And
Audra will be your new best friend.
Yes.
And
Audra.
Guide to everything entertainment.
Just audra.browning@gmail.com.
Wow, that's so nice of you to give that out. What a friendly gal. Any last thoughts before we go off the air here, Rohan?
No, I'd say that we've got a lot of great events that are coming out this year, so just kind of keep a watch out for things. I mean, I'm working on an event in March on crowdfunding. Again, that's something, since I have come a finance background, it's a new way for people to basically do financing and using the internet as a way to almost do sort of like fundraising for your project.
That's going to be March 8th, and that's right here at 200 Peachtree.
Oh, well, there you go. We can get everyone to come out to that. They'll feel comfortable. They'll get to meet me.
That's
you guys.
Right. That's right.
Come on.
That's
it's
right.
like a win-win.
Yeah.
So, Rohan, if people want to get in touch with you, do you want to share your Twitter or your should they find you?
Well, my Twitter is basically my first and last name is at Rohan Crawford. And for can't spell my name, it's RohanCrawford. Just look me up. It has me there. I usually tweet about all things related to entertainment, media, and as well as things in technology as well. Because, again, while I do have a passion for that, I do focus on other areas as well. So technology is another area that, kind of still consider myself a bit of a geek because I love my gadgets just like everybody else.
There you go.
So.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for being here. This has been very eye-opening and a pleasure. And we'll be back next week on Showbiz Atlanta to learn about how cars and vehicles get on set. So that should be an interesting show too. So tune in for that. We'll see you next time.